Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
We tormented ourselves for you, so thank you.
As we do every week. If this is your first week joining us, last week we watched Burlesque. That wonderful so Cher bad. And Christina Aguilera movie. We absolutely lost our minds.
My eyes are bleeding still from just taking in the spectacle of that movie. Exactly. So bad.
Spectacle is a great way to describe it.
I would say.
But this week, we are doing Failure to Launch.
McConaughey, Sarah Jessica Parker.
We haven't done a McConaughey movie in quite some time, so I figured that we should give our boy a little resurgence.
He needs some abuse. We'll just say that.
Especially for this movie.
Everyone in this movie needs abuse. Everyone. It's the most grating. Never mind. We'll talk about it. But the performances are the most grating all around. The story is horrible.
It's good.
It's just terrible.
It's
everything
absolutely
about it.
Terrible, but...
I can't take it.
They were somewhat merciful on us. Like I said, this week is Failure to Launch, the 2006 movie. 1 hour and 36 minutes, and you feel every second of those 96 minutes.
And sometimes it feels like it's from 1999, and sometimes it feels like it's from 2008. I don't know. It's so weird,
Well, this was also in that weird stage where they were acting like we don't have cell phones, because in 2008, 2006, I'm sorry, we definitely had cell phones.
Yeah.
But sometimes they act like we don't have them.
Well, because it's the that's the worst thing for, if you're writing something, a cell phone's always a block.
It solves everything.
It's a problem solver. So it was so much easier when you could just kind of, maybe that person just doesn't have their phone on them.
But
now everyone has it, so.
It creates problems.
But they can be solved just as easily. That's the thing. It's like if you're lost.
Well fine. If you don't have a cell phone, then like in the beginning of the movie, just like break it.
That's
the thing.
Get it thrown
in water or something like that. So then now you don't have a cell phone
anymore. That's what you get now with movies. But this,
as I digress.
I'm sorry. Good Lord.
The IMDb description. You guys, I have been doing so good. If you go back and listen to the other catalog, like the older episodes that we have, I really always mess up the IMDb description. It's every time. But anyway.
I'm proud of you. You've been getting so much better.
Thank you. I just slow down. That's all I've done to fix it.
It helps a lot.
Yeah, it helps. Anyway, the IMDb description. A 30-something is still living with his parents until they hire an interventionist to help him graduate out of the house. That's when the fun begins.
Yeah, no, an interventionist. That's if you've seen this movie, first of all. An interventionist, and what happens is they come in and they intervene. It's a confrontation.
Yeah.
There's no confrontation here. This is like...
Well, it's passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressive intervention. Intervention is weird. That's just very strange. It'd be
it's
like
very
if
weird.
Your whole family just made you feel sort of bad for being an alcoholic. They just made like comments now and then and shit like that, but didn't actively tell you that they were disappointed in your decisions.
No, this movie was very odd. But the tagline for this movie, to leave the nest, some men just need a little push.
Okay, sure. Well, that's what they're trying to get across here. But here's my main problem with this movie. Okay, right off the bat, the whole thing is none of these human beings exist.
Correct.
None of them. None of them exist in the real world. There's no person that has that job that she does. There's no guy who's like him. There's no guy who's like his friends. None of these people exist.
No, they don't exist.
Don't exist.
Right.
So I don't understand.
They don't exist. And that is a good transition to my fun fact this week.
Oh boy, here
the
we
fun
go.
Fact. All of the fun facts on IMDb were not very interesting at all.
No.
It was mostly all who was offered to play the characters but declined it. So the fun fact.
A bunch of early 2000s. You know,
Yeah, like Reese Witherspoon. And,
yeah, the,
you know,
the typical
like
carousel you'd imagine.
What was it, like Amanda Peet was supposed to be Sarah Jessica Parker role.
Who knows?
Which it might have been funnier if Sarah Jessica Parker was in that role. But as I digress, it doesn't really matter. So the fun fact actually is that this movie should not have happened because we're running with an understudy crew. They're just basically like, look, we wrote this movie for specific people.
Yeah.
And then we're not...
Wasn't Zach Braff?
Yeah,
the
Zach
main,
Braff
the
was supposed
intentional.
To be, yeah, it was supposed to be for Matthew McConaughey, and then Amanda Peet was supposed to be.
Okay.
But like that would have been actually pretty funny because Zach Braff is like kind of nerdy.
The
looking.
Movie's terrible; would have never been good. But it could have been less grating with different people.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
The
but
movie
never
that,
was going to be good.
The movie that it could have been a better lasagna. This movie was not a good lasagna.
No,
too much cheese.
All sorts of layers.
Too much cheese.
Bad. There's weird vegetables in it that nobody wants. It's
yeah,
just a bad lasagna.
But The show must go on, all right? But here's the deal. James and I live by this code, is not to force it. Don't force it.
Yeah.
If you have to force it, it's not going to work.
It's true.
So every once in a while, we'll go, are we forcing this? And then
with everything in life. Yeah, exactly.
Everything that we've had to force has become a problem.
Absolutely. This movie, everything is forced.
Yep,
everything.
Absolutely.
The whole plot is just, it's pushed through. It needs like steam power and like a fat guy pushing.
Yeah.
And like it needs several instances of force to get the plot to go down the rail.
I will give credit where credit is due, okay? Because the movie does not start with a bad, terrible voiceover or anything like that.
It's different than most romantic comedies.
It gets right to it because we begin with Matthew McConaughey on a date.
Okay. Yeah, and the date confused me, by the way.
Why?
Because they're on a date. We don't know how long they've been together.
I don't get why you're confused.
Together.
There's no context.
I'm trying to tell you now.
Movie. Okay.
That's my point. That's they don't give you any context. So they're together in the restaurant.
Yes.
And we don't know how long they've been together. She just says, you know, where are we going or whatever, which some people say that shit after on the second date. So that doesn't know. Who knows if they've been together a year, 3 days? We have no idea, right?
Yeah.
So then he's like, obviously she's getting serious at this point.
Yeah.
So then he's like, we're going to go back to my place. And that whole thing happens. And she's so angry about it.
Why?
Screaming and yelling and stomping out of the house when she leaves the parents' house there. This the date that they're on.
Yeah.
I don't understand why she's so angry.
Okay.
Because I don't know how long they've been together. I don't know if this is just... It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but you're missing a lot here.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm missing...
James is used to hosting his own podcast, so he's just completely taken over
No, I just don't understand
the
movie.
Matthew McConaughey is on a date.
Yes.
Okay. So the woman points out the old couple that's across from them in love. And then she says to him, like, where do you see us going? He says, I see us going back to my place.
Yes.
Now... They're getting funky and fresh, getting down, whatever.
Back
at
his place.
Yeah, back at his place. And then Matthew McConaughey's dad walks in on them having sex, and that's traumatizing.
Okay.
And then he's just like, oh, hey, how's it going?
She's not mad about that, though. She's mad that he lives with his parents.
Well, yeah, because he's 35, and he's never, and I'm sure he probably mentioned, I've never left home, and like, you know, blah, 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 because he's trying to push these people away.
But all you hear, Terry Bradshaw goes back, he goes and lays down with Kathy Bates, which, by the way, okay, if you're going to cast Terry Bradshaw in a movie, don't, please.
Right.
I fucking beg you not to put him in an acting role. But if you are going to put him in an acting role, don't put him next to one of the best actors alive, please.
Well,
and
yeah,
put him in the same scene with him constantly, because it makes him his. You can just tell he doesn't know how to act just by his eyes sitting next to Kathy Bates. Kathy Bates is amazing.
Kathy Bates obviously is amazing.
But he goes and lays down again. And then the point, the second he hits the bed, all you hear is her screaming and shit crashing. She's just
she's
like, how fucking
screaming.
Dare you? She is. She's going, oh my God, how dare you? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, yep, she's finding out. She's leaving now. She's slamming doors, stomping down this, like, well, why is she so mad? I could see her being like, you live with your parents? That's weird. Oh God, you're kind of a loser. But she's like angry, like she just found out he did something horrible
to
her.
Well, that's the thing, is that we
still the same dick. I don't understand it.
We don't know. That's why I'm saying it might be like the first couple of dates, because
then she'd be even weirder to be angry about it. If she knew him for a long time and he hid the fact that he was lived with his parents, that would be a reason to get mad. Like, well, you didn't tell me this. We've been together for 6 months.
Women don't want men to have
I get
never
that.
Left home.
But you don't. You can't be angry at them for it. You can be I don't want to be with them for it, or you're kind of a loser for them. For you can't
well,
be
we
like,
don't know
oh
what the
God.
Conversation
God.
Was.
She was
you don't
screaming.
Know what the conversation was with them.
But she was screaming. It was like it was crazy yeah. time. She was stomping and
maybe
bashing
you
shit.
Broke
it was
up
like,
with her, and then that's why she left.
I don't know. Maybe it didn't
and
sound
she was
like
mad
it.
At him
she broke. They were like, she's leaving. Like that happens all the time. That's that was the thing. Like he does this, and the parents are like, "Well, here we go again."
Well,
he's doing it again.
Later on in the movie, Kathy Bates says that he brought you home because he's planning on breaking
yeah,
up
exactly.
with you. So we don't know if he brings them home.
He does.
And then, obviously, he brings
them
home. But so he brings them home, and then we don't know what his thing is. We don't know what his thing is. Maybe it is like that he like does that, and then she's like, "Oh, you live with your parents?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then he like says, "Like okay, like you know, if you're not cool with that, then we're breaking up." And she's like, "What are you talking about? You know, we don't know what the conversation."
I guess not. No, I don't know. But either way, her reaction just was like very, very like a violent reaction to him living at home. I just thought that.
Well, we're spending a lot of time on something that doesn't really matter because it looks like Matthew McConaughey really enjoys living at home. And I, for a while, I thought that he does. I'm like, does he do this on purpose to like get people, or is this like, is he just like really excited to be home?
I don't know. He looks like he smells like wet sand all
yes,
the time.
Yes, Matthew McConaughey does look like he has a scent.
Always smells like just earth, damp earth. I don't like him. I don't like the looks of him. And you mix Sarah Jessica Parker into the equation, and I'm just disturbed by the whole stew that we've concocted.
Yeah,
I don't like it. But, yeah.
So we have a breakfast montage where Kathy Bates clearly loves her son, Matthew McConaughey, more than she loves her husband, Terry Bradshaw. And we can kind of get the affirmation that Matthew McConaughey really enjoys living at home. He enjoys having his mom take care of him still. Like he enjoys being mothered, you know, so you're just kind of like, all right, this guy's a little bit weird, I guess. But like Matthew McConaughey is objectively too handsome to like be a weirdo like that. Like well, he just seems like I don't know,
he has like a an old Porsche.
Yeah,
like it's just it doesn't make any sense that he would want to live at home. Put it that way.
Yeah, it would make much more sense if he had, because he's like a boat broker, which like that seems like a made up job, but it's fine.
I've never heard of
and
that
then
before either.
He's like a boat broker and he drives like an old Porsche and he dresses pretty nice.
He's like
he,
the people that sold Rick Moranis the boat in Captain Ron.
He goes rock climbing and he goes and does stuff.
Every
and he goes
activity,
paintball.
Mountain biking, swimming with dolphins.
It's he's not. Like pathetic.
No, he's not. That's the thing. He's the whole character is he's supposed to be a loser
that
won't
lives
leave
at home.
Home
that won't
but
you know leave
he's
the
this
nest.
Anomaly that's not a loser. He's this amazing guy, but he also happens to live at home, which is just and then obviously we find out later it's because he's a deep and hurt and scarred individual is why.
Right.
Obviously, it's you know he's too deep for it. That's why.
Okay, so
too deep for a one bedroom.
Yeah, here's why it's weird that Matthew McConaughey is a. Adult child is basically what they're kind of referred to as.
Yeah.
It seems like there's an adult child community, people who won't leave the nest. And he's got yoga and lunch with the boys, Bradley Cooper and the guy from National Treasure.
He's found the
guy
only
not Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he's found the only other three adult guys who want to live at home too, and somehow he's friends
what
with them.
What's the third one?
All three of those guys talk about living at home too. The two guys he's with.
It's only the two.
Oh, the other three. No, there is no other third guy. You're right. You're right. There's only two.
So he's got yoga and lunch with the boys. Okay, so he's pretty much got it made in the shade.
By the way, men don't do yoga together.
Why? They can.
No. I'm telling you, as a guy, I've never been asked to by another guy or heard of any other guys saying, let's get together for yoga. That's what women do.
They do a lot of activities, is what I'm saying. So it
Everything.
Seems like he has money to do things. It's not like he's
Definitely.
Got no money to do things, and that's why he lives at home. Matthew McConaughey is almost...
Maybe he's got money to do things because he lives at home.
He's recanting the evening to his friends, his other adult children friends. And he's like, we were getting busy and blah, blah, blah. My dad walks in and then, you know, she broke up with me.
Yeah.
And it seems like the three boys are very excited that they all live at home. Like, they're like, why don't they respect our lifestyle?
Yeah, like they call it a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like it's like this. They call it like it's like a movement.
But
involuntary incels. Like no one wants to fuck me, but I won't fuck anyway. I'll just sit in this basement.
But question, because I think that there is an actual thing of being an adult child. But like I think it's more like. You know, it's a reciprocal thing, like the mom and the son, like they feed off each other with that stuff.
It's like a Buster Bluth Arrested Development situation.
But I think
this isn't like that.
It actually goes, I don't know, but it doesn't seem this lax because it kind of just feels like, Kathy Bates doesn't mind doing it. And,
no, she
like,
seems
she
into it.
She folds his laundry. She makes him a full pancake, sausage, and bacon breakfast. And like
bacon, sausage, eggs, and there's like four frying pans involved
yeah,
in that. And she's
to,
fine with
she's
it.
She's
yeah.
like going like the whole Denny's IHOP thing.
Whole stove is full.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's and crazy. No smoke in the kitchen. I'm like, there would be so much smoke.
Filled with smoke. All
filled
that,
with smoke.
You can't cook.
Even if you've
good
got,
Lord.
Yeah, even if you've got great ventilation, so much smoke because bacon and sausage.
Forget
geez.
It. Yeah, your whole place is filled.
Anyway, we're spending a lot of time on things that really don't matter.
On sausage but it, fumes.
That's
the
how
kitchen.
Upsetting this movie is. And now we cut to all of the parents. Like it's like Terry Bradshaw and Kathy Bates and all these other people that seem to be in the same age bracket as them, and they're all yeah. complaining about their kids. But they're all still living with them. So they're like,
all,
oh,
yeah.
like, he won't do this. But like, they don't have these conversations with their kids.
No.
And they're all like 30-something years old.
And all of the parents, all of these, this group of like retirement age people, all of them have kids that still live at home. It's like, wow, it's like a pod person thing in this
yeah.
in this town. Like
so
all the kids live at home till they're 40.
Like it's this weird community of children, adult children.
Matthew McConaughey's 35, by the way, they
yeah.
say. Yeah.
He's, they're all these adult children and they have all found each other and they seem to accept this. They're like, oh, nobody accepts our lifestyle. And then the parents are all like, they all find each other and
yeah.
they're like, get them out of our fucking houses.
And then they find a success story at the barbecue
yeah, so
here.
They find a success story. This is where we learn our plot point, okay? This one couple says that their son moved out and they're like, oh my God, how'd you get him to do it? And they said that they found a girl. And then they're like, well, you know, Matthew McConaughey finds girls all the time.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no. It's not just a girl. It's the girl.
Oh, yeah.
And now we meet our girl, Sarah Jessica Parker, SJP,
yeah.
at the furniture store where we are with Kathy Bates, Terry Bradshaw, and Matthew McConaughey.
This is the beginning of the setup.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey. They don't tell us at all.
Yes.
The movie does not wink to the audience
no.
and say this is what's going to happen. It just happens, and
yeah.
then you find out later.
All you know is that there's the girl, and then you see Sarah Jessica Parker, so you're like, okay. So SJP has some coffee. She goes and brings it to these people.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's this brought up to? And then it's like Terry Bradshaw is being all weird and like, oh, do you see that girl? Like,
yeah,
oh,
look
so
at
then
her.
You're like, oh, okay, I get it. Like they hired somebody or, you know, like whatever. Like you're just
yeah.
kind of like, all right,
that
whatever.
That must be the person that
you.
Was
yeah.
discussed at the barbecue.
And then like she just goes and sits on
yeah.
some chair right next to Matthew McConaughey. Like, this girl's got some moxie. And she's like, oh, yeah, cool. I just take a 20-minute nap at the furniture store.
Yeah,
what?
I bring them coffee. They play soothing music.
Everything
like
else that she does in this movie, you're like, okay, I get it that you would have a weird relationship
yeah.
with these people. I'm like, what did you do? Call ahead to the furniture store and be like, yo, can I bring you guys some coffee so that I can say that I take a snooze on your...
I think the furniture store is one of the places, it's like the vet, where she has like a setup. Where she probably told.
I know, but
Bates,
why does she have a setup there? Like, I get why she.
I don't know why she chose the furniture store. I have no idea why she chose.
Yeah,
her.
I don't like. That's why I was like, oh, she does. She just make like relationships with everybody
yeah,
in town, every
weird.
Small business, and she's like, hello, furniture store.
Yeah, she's got like
there
a,
might
a
be
deal.
A weird
hey,
adult
I'm gonna be
child
running.
That,
I'm gonna be running a scam. Do you guys
yeah.
mind? I'll bring you coffee if you let me run
yeah,
a scam in
yeah,
your store.
Yeah, I scam these old people out of their money so they can get their weird adult child out of their house. Can I take a snooze on your recliner?
This is where the movie. This is where the problem happens, okay? Because
yes.
up to this point, okay, it's all fine. But this is where the premise comes in of
and they do it very sloppily.
Yeah, and it says two things. This movie posits two different things, okay? Number one, that everybody wants to live at home
right.
with their parents till they die, which is not true.
No.
Everybody I've ever known wants to get out of their parents' house
yes.
as soon as humanly possible. So that, number one, the first premise of the whole main premise of the movie
yeah.
is not true. So that's
no
wrong.
Offense to mom and dad. It's just, you know.
Yeah, offense to mom and dad. I want to get out the same way you wanted to get out of your mom and dad's
yeah.
house. All of you. It's not nothing personal. You just
right.
want your own space. Number two, this movie also posits that no matter what, every man's going to be head over heels, can't control themselves, attracted to Sarah Jessica Parker, which is fucking, I can't tell you how not true that is. That's less true than everybody wants to live at home.
Wow.
I can't take it. No. No. And that's, you know what? I was too harsh on Sarah Jessica Parker right there, but she's not the, like, it's not, you can't just say like, well, she's going to be the common denominator that every man in America that she could possibly do would
be
attracted to her.
That's why they wanted Amanda Peet.
That would have been
a little bit more achievable as, like, you know.
There's very few. What I'm saying is, I don't know of, like, any person, human, man, woman, that could pull that role off, but especially not Sarah Jessica Parker. No offense to Sarah Jessica Parker, but she's a fine actress. She does her thing great. She's not... oh my God, I'm going to come from across the room to see her because she's so gorgeous, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well,
I'm
no,
not
she
shitting on her looks. It's just the movie's weird casting. I'm
she
sorry.
She had to trip over Matthew McConaughey and then tell him. And then it's so stupid because he's like, she
if
goes,
it was
oh, yeah,
Charlize
I,
Theron from that era, you'd go, well, I could see that because she could probably attract any guy in the country. Sarah Jessica Parker, a lot of guys will say, no thanks, and just keep walking. Not interested.
Not Matthew McConaughey.
That's obviously what I mean. Why?
He's willing. He's
it's 50-50. You know what I mean?
He's willing to take the
it's
bait.
50-50.
He's willing to take the bait that she has an arrangement that if she brings these people coffee, she can take a 20-minute nap on the recliner.
It's true. She's got this arrangement.
That's the weirdest fucking... The fact that nobody asked, okay, what does that mean? Like, you just bring people coffee and then you can take naps? Like, this is not a life hack, ma'am.
No, it's not. It's not.
No. Anyway, and plus, by the way, I don't think that anybody's sneaking in to take a nap in a recliner. This is my current hellscape. I have to sleep in a recliner
with
the
your
past
shoulder
couple of months because of
injury.
My shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And I would not bring anybody coffee. I'd be like, you better bring me something to sleep in that fucking recliner. Anyway. Very quickly, Matthew McConaughey negotiates a date with Sarah Jessica Parker. She's just like, yeah, cool. Like, number one, you're interrupting my nap time. But she's like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, we can go on a date. I mean, obviously, that's what her goal is.
Forth, yeah.
But she's not even trying to be like, this is a very true thing that I just told you. I take naps here. You're bothering me. This is my 20-minute nap.
No, well, she's pretending to like his banter. That's the thing. That's her game that she plays.
That's it, whatever.
Which that's, I will say this, that's a way that any woman, if they like a guy's banter, she knows that. She's like, oh, men are stupid. You play to their egos.
Yeah.
It's like the old Eddie Murphy joke.
That's true.
Any man can hang around a woman, but if a woman's not attracted to him, they're never gonna give in. But the other way around, a man will eventually give in because
you
cater
you know
to
what?
Our egos and we're too stupid
it's
find
true
it off.
Because it's true. I made a Sims family and every single time that James's Sim makes my Sim laugh, he impregnates my Sim.
Yeah,
character.
Yeah, it's every time.
That's what happens with men, is that I laugh at his jokes.
Yeah.
And then
boom.
That's what happens in Sims world. I get pregnant
done
almost
every time. Yeah.
So, you know, it's very true, ladies, if you just laugh at their jokes.
That's what happened.
Anyway.
We're easy creatures to figure out.
Yes. So Zooey Deschanel is her roommate.
My other
Sarah
favorite.
Jessica Parker's roommate. And they introduce this really weird plot point in the movie that just kind of seems like it's more or less a time filler. She's very mad at this mockingbird that keeps chirping outside her window. Okay,
yeah, Zooey Deschanel's whole subplot feels like they put it in at the end when they were like, the script's 72 pages long. Like, we can't make this.
Yeah, they're like, the movie's 76 minutes long.
Get it to like 88 pages and we can make it work. We fill it in with a long credit sequence. We'll have Terry Bradshaw doing some dumb shit over the credits and we'll fucking pad it out. But
we got this, guys.
No, it's the worst.
She does mention, so we are introduced to the, you know, that she's got the mockingbird issue and also that Sarah Jessica Parker is an interventionist and scams people out of their money, but still needs a roommate.
That's the other thing. Yeah, she's got a roommate. And
so
her,
she's like upset because Matthew McConaughey still lives with his parents and she's helping people out. But girl, you got to split your bills.
And Zooey Deschanel's got seems like a pretty menial job, right? She works from what it sounds like, she said, oh, everybody's going to TGI Fridays and I don't like the people we work with and I don't like TGI.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like she's got anything I don't think she's, I don't know, it feels like Sarah Jessica Parker's doing much better in her career than Zooey Deschanel.
My whole thing was,
they live together. It's weird.
Who are you to judge
Matthew
McConaughey? Because they don't seem to be, if they were like cousins or siblings or something like that, then I could understand her living with her cousin,
with you,
like
SJP?
Whatever. But otherwise, are you judging these adult male children and you're fucking rooming with somebody? Like, you're like, oh, pathetic. You live with your mom and dad? Yeah, I got to split my bills with a stranger.
Hold on. I got to walk in and make sure I don't eat my roommate's food out of the fridge by accident. The hell out of here.
Yeah. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Shut up, SJP. See? I told you. She's the devil.
So I did love...
Sarah Jessica Parker's the devil.
Allegedly.
No. Okay. It's true. You proved me wrong.
Zooey Deschanel does bring up... No, we all know Elizabeth Hurley is the devil. Because
she doesn't age, also. She's an ageless fucking...
Zooey Deschanel mentions that she was going to go out with some radiologist who offered her a free full body scan. And I was like, oh, I want that. Do you know how many that times I tell good. You, like, I want, like, a once a year... Free yeah. full body, it's like a 27-point inspection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
check
a
my tires,
check your
rotate
emissions.
And balance, make sure and make sure everything's
make sure
all
you,
good.
You're up to emissions.
Because I'm a hypochondriac, folks, yeah. And I'm like, ooh, so this is a scary time. Check on your hypochondriac friends.
That sounds good. The other thing, it's weird too, is like, we have two very odd acting styles in this movie. I have to say
yes,
quickly,
like
Sarah Jessica Parker's a pretty good actress, actually. Like,
she's pretty great in this movie.
She's been acting since she was like fucking. Eight. She's been on television. So yeah. If she's not good by 2006, let's just say it was never going
to
happen.
Like, but she and Kathy Bates for sure deserve to be in this movie just because they're decent at acting.
They're good actors. Yeah. They really are.
And
I'm giving Sarah Jessica Parker shit just because they put her in a movie as look how sexy she is. That's not her fault.
Well, that's every Adam Sandler movie.
Exactly. Totally. She's female Adam Sandler.
My mom gets so upset. She's like, I'm just offended after watching that movie. I'm like, why? It's because they think that I think that Adam Sandler's sexy. And I'm like, yeah,
that's Adam Sandler and Sarah Jessica Parker. They just put them in a role, and in this world, they're sexy somehow.
Exactly.
And it's like, no, they're not.
Mama said.
Yeah, I don't know if Adam Sandler was considered more attractive when he was younger. Maybe
no,
it didn't look like it. But like Sarah Jessica Parker in the early '90s, she was fucking smoking hot in the early
'90s.
Yeah, and then time has taken its toll, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
No, she looks great.
We're all
for her
getting
age.
Older. She looks great for her age. I'm just saying it's not. Yes. She's not the same role in a movie as she was when like Honeymoon in Vegas or something like that. She doesn't have the same.
I think I also read that Brooke Shields was supposed to be her role, and that would have been a good one.
That would make a lot more sense, just because Brooke Shields, but she's also not as good of an actress as Sarah Jessica Parker. So Sarah Jessica Parker's better in this role.
Yeah. So we all thought that Sarah Jessica Parker was a hired hand to.
Yeah.
Go out with Matthew McConaughey and get him out of the house. And this scene right here, this no subtext, all text, it's proving that. So she's like confirming, I'm a hired hand. I help adult children get out of the house.
Yeah, she explains this
whole thing, and it's called failure to launch, which is why the movie is called that. So that means that somebody was bored, had been told that, you know, whatever. I don't know where the fuck they learned about this failure to launch syndrome,
but
or whatever it is.
1,000% thought she was going to whip a collapsible whiteboard out of her fucking purse and like snap it open and put it on the board and start pointing shit out of like step one, step two.
Yeah.
It was that sort of like scene. It's weird.
She is estimating that she can get Matthew McConaughey out of the house in 3 weeks. And Kathy Bates and Terry Bradshaw are jacked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But they never once like talked to him like, hey, son, like, don't you
never.
Think you should get out of the house? They don't ever think, like, they're not ever, like, looking at him longingly, like, you poor thing. Like, you know, it's so...
And when we find out the reason why...
You've lived a hard life, and, you know, it sucks that you're, you know, back at home. I know you don't really want to be here, but instead, like, he's just like, yeah, cool, mom, you know, fire up those flapjacks for me. Yeah. Like, I love pancakes.
When you find out the reason why he's home for this long, it makes it even weirder that they didn't talk to him. Because if they were, like, they seem to be very close as a family... Yeah. Think they'd say, hey, son, you know,
get
like,
the
I'm
fuck
gonna,
out of
no,
my
no,
house.
No, no, try to help him.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Do you need an apartment? Do you want this?
Something. Like, yeah. Are you? It just seems like they could have talked.
Yeah, they could have talked.
Later on, Terry Bradshaw's comfortable walking around with his cock hanging out around Matthew McConaughey, but yet they can't have a conversation.
Yeah.
This is very strange.
Yeah, and apparently he's been longing to have a naked room, but he's not like ever like, get out of my house so I can have a naked room.
I want my balls swinging free.
Yeah. And then this is where I wanted to change the title of the movie from Failure to Launch to Successful Manipulation, because this whole movie is all blackmail and manipulation. Okay?
Every scene, someone's manipulating someone else. It's really weird.
He's manipulating his parents. He's manipulating the women that he's dating. Because he's like, oh, cool, you gave me that look, so I'm going to take you home.
She's manipulating them.
Yeah.
His friends manipulating are manipulating her.
Everybody's manipulating everybody. And
everybody's
got
a scam.
Crazy.
Yeah, everyone's scamming on everyone.
This job cannot be legal.
No, it can't be legal. You are...
It's so unethical.
No, she, and that's the thing. In the beginning, she says her
but
rules...
she has contracts.
And she has rules, though, that she does not have sex with these people.
Yeah, we don't learn any of the rules until she has sex with them.
Yeah, she says, well, I don't have sex with the people, because Zooey Deschanel accuses her of wanting to bang McConaughey.
So, Sarah Jessica Parker tells Kathy Bates and Terry Bradshaw to make life a little bit more difficult for him.
Yeah.
Now, what she means by that... is this is a 30-something-year-old man. She means make him do chores, which is a very childish thing, as opposed to it would make it more difficult if you're like, hey, you're 35. If you're going to live here, you got to start paying rent.
Thank you. I was going to say, how about you pay half the electric bill?
Oh, you have to do your laundry.
Fuck chores.
What? You should always have been doing your laundry.
Mortgage is due on the 15th.
Yeah.
Electric bill is due on the 1st. This is how much money you owe. Like, how about that? He would have been like, yeah, cheaper to get an apartment.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Or, you know what? We're going to start doing this, and you're going to pay rent, and it's going to go towards a down payment or a security deposit
something
on an apartment.
For the
like,
love
it's
of
just
Christ.
Like, it's just like start making make him do chores.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? He's 35.
That is a weird thing.
And what requirements do you have to fill to be an adult child?
And he looks like shocked because she's like, oh, your bathroom in your room, like your ensuite bathroom here, is dirty. I left the cleaning supplies outside, and he's looking like, what?
Yeah.
I have to clean my toilet, and it's what?
And then even Bradley Cooper goes, something's wrong with
your
mom.
Something's wrong with your mom. Yeah, they're like very like, what the hell?
Like, oh, moms are only supposed to serve us. It's like, no, listen, the kid, like your parents like you. Your parents like you, and they don't want you to live there. They want to be their own people. Your parents were people
like
before
you
came along. Yeah, they were people before you came along. Then you came along, and they turned into these little robots to make sure that you don't kill yourself.
And now it's 35 years later.
And now you're 35, and get the fuck out of your parents' house. Don't be at your mom's house.
This is the scene when they come in and she tells him to do chores and shit.
Yes.
This is the scene I noticed that Matthew McConaughey's acting style. And if you notice this, if you watch every movie he's ever been in, this is his acting style. I never noticed it till now. His hands never stop moving.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do with his hands, apparently, so he's decided to never stop moving them.
Well, I think
I've never seen an actor do this before, though.
I think that is mostly like he's trying to be a character.
But it's in every movie. He doesn't know what to do.
Oh.
That's like his style is like it's like half face, half hands. Check it out. Like when he's talking and they're in the room and they're playing video games and Kathy Bates is like, you have to do chores. He's like throwing popcorn at the little kid constantly. He's got this. We should introduce the nephew too. But
he's
pelting this kid every time. He's just throwing popcorn. He's got his other hand doing something. He's making all these weird gestures with his fingers.
I did not even notice that.
It's so weird. Later on, every time he talks, he's got some weird finger gestures going on.
Yeah,
it's strange, man. It's a weird. It's a choice.
Yeah,
it's an acting style.
It's a choice. And also a choice is that they have their first date, Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker. They are having lunch on a boat, and we find out that Matthew McConaughey is a boat broker. On a docked sailboat. It definitely seems like a made-up job, but that's fine. And then
someone's got to sell a boat, I guess.
But, like, I've never heard of a boat broker.
I guess because you have, like, a real estate broker. I guess it's the same type of thing. Like, agent. It would almost be like a boat, like someone who locates boats for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rick Moranis had one in Captain Ron. They had a boat guy.
I'm going to look up. I didn't look up boat broker.
I've never looked for a boat.
They're having lunch. And he like throws the lunch off of the boat because the original owner of the boat is coming up. And then he's like,
not original, current.
Oh, current owner,
the current owner.
And he's like, is that a fork? Are you eating lunch on my boat? And then Sarah Jessica Parker starts asking questions about the boat, like if it's for sale. And he's not, like, he seems very upset that somebody would be having lunch on the boat, but he's not like, oh. He goes like, oh, you want to buy it? Like, that's, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking to buy it.
Fuck you, that's my boat. No.
Well,
I'm not selling it. Get away from me.
No, I think it's for sale. That's why I think McConaughey works for him. And this is like, he's a broker.
Okay,
he's his broker.
Okay.
So he thought he was out of town.
That
so he's
never
like, hey.
Explained.
That's all.
Clarified.
That's the only subtext in the movie or like weird things like that, but not plot things. Everything else is like right up your ass, except for this is like this very subtle thing that you have to understand that they're doing. Yeah. That's him and Sarah Jessica Parker team up without talking. And she knows the scam.
She's a down bitch. And she's like,
I'll have to think about it. Thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot. Oh, yeah. And And then now we're jumping back to our adult child society. Matthew McConaughey and his other adult children.
They're like
friends.
Hunting elephants now
they're
or some
out
shit.
Mountain biking.
Yeah, mountain biking.
There's a lot of like physical comedy that doesn't make sense. And this is the first scene. This is the first scene where we like really get a taste of that because they're like flipping over the handrails on the bike and like, you know, and then they're trying to feed a chipmunk food. And then Matthew McConaughey's like, cool, let's give the chipmunk a power bar, a chocolate power bar, which is like, and he goes, oh yeah, everybody loves chocolate. And I'm like, well, first of all, that's a huge hunk of power bar. Second of all,
it's the size of the chipmunk's head.
If chocolate kills dogs, like, what do you think it's going to do to a chipmunk?
Who knows? We don't know.
We don't know what happens to a chipmunk. And you're just like, what's up? Do you want a power bar?
Yeah,
I miss power bars. I used to eat them all the time.
I think I just figured out what happened in this movie in the writing, by the way. Okay.
Somebody had a stroke?
Well, afterwards, yeah, I think they read it and then had a stroke. But the plot of the movie originally, I don't think had any comedy in it. I think the movie originally was a movie about a guy who won't move out of his parents' house and his parents set up this thing. And I think it was just like a movie like that, like a Heigl movie that's got minimal comedy.
I think it was always supposed to be a comedy.
Then they said, okay, this is, what do we do with this? If we make it funny, then it's a romantic comedy. This is a good date movie.
Especially if it was written thing. For...
Well, it's what I mean is, so I think then they ended up saying, okay, let's, because this is the type of movie that, this is not like anywhere near the original script. This is one of these movies that's been rewritten by 12 people.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a definite, like, you know, 40th draft.
So then they layered in, like, okay, well, we'll have him and his friends on the side. They'll be comedy. That'll be a comedy. And then Zooey Deschanel with this bird. That'll be the other comedy. So we can just cut away from the plot to this comedy.
The weird thing is,
the rhythm of it.
Is that all of the adult children, again, it's Matthew McConaughey, Bradley Cooper, and the guy from National Treasure. None of them are, like, terrible looking. They don't have, like, a weird, like, later on we find out that Patton Oswalt is an adult child, and that seems like a dude that won't leave his mom's house.
And he, the way they make the character, too, they're, he's like
Star Wars.
He's talking, like, deep about, like, Star Wars theory, like, not just about Star Wars, like,
he's
theory.
Taking Star Wars like, and, like, you know, Marvel characters a little too seriously, like, this is my world, too, like, you know what I mean?
With a chick, which is
but
not
like,
advisable.
The other
gentlemen.
Three that we talk about, like, they get out and they go do stuff. They go mountain biking and they go, they're not, like... You know, like Patton Oswalt in Reno 911, like he's, you know, going to the Renaissance Festival and like he's always method acting. And he's
playing D&D in character
in
the garage and getting
and
very carried away with
then,
it.
You know, and he's like, oh, how did you get here? You know, there's no cell phones in, you know, whatever year it is. But like these people aren't delusional. They like living at home and their parents don't seem to mind either.
Well, because they all seem... Okay.
That's what I don't get what the problem is that if their parents don't care and they don't care, why can't they live there?
Because, okay, so the way she explains it is the guys she usually does are guys who are dorks. They're insecure people who are scared to go out into the world and blah, blah, blah. So she builds up their confidence to the point where they have the security and their confidence to move out of the house. That's the whole point. But McConaughey is fucking not... He's oozing confidence. He has confidence. Yeah. When he's spits on the ground, it's just a puddle of confidence. He sweats confidence. There's nothing. The last thing he needs is more fucking confidence. They need to chill him out. He needs to be knocked down a couple pegs.
He's found a perfect amount that works for him.
It's like there's no reason other than that. There's no reason for him to be at home.
Yeah,
which is the point. And they don't reveal that till because then she says the same thing to Zooey Deschanel. She's like, he's not like everybody else. There's no reason he's at. I don't get why he's at home.
Yeah,
she says the same thing. Like he's nothing like the other guy. I wonder what the deal is with
that. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess I'll keep going on my normal path.
But anyway,
it's weird.
This part comes up a couple of times, okay? This cute little chipmunk bites Matthew McConaughey and is like stuck on his hand.
Yeah.
And he's got to do physical comedy and he's not good at it.
No.
Anyway, it'll come back later.
No.
But
he's flinging it around
and
he eventually flings
it up in
the air. Off of his hand.
Matthew McConaughey goes to pick up Sarah Jessica Parker at her house that she rents with...
Zodog.
Okay, great. I love that. And so he's, you know, they're on a date and he's talking to her about what she does. And she says that she teaches special needs kids.
Yeah.
But like, he doesn't ask her any other follow-up questions about it.
Where?
It's just, yeah,
how long have you been doing that?
How old are the kids? Like, what grade are they in? Or anything like that. He's just like, all right. Like,
yeah, cool.
Cool beans.
That's
and
great
then
conversation.
I was just like, is this supposed to be a wink and a nod?
He's got game.
Like, what do you do? And she's like, oh, you know, instead of being like, I help adult children out of their houses, it's like, I help special needs kids.
Like
and I'm like,
you, wink,
yo. Yeah. I was like, That's not a nice wink and a nod.
No,
there,
that's
SJP.
Not.
What the
it's a
hell?
Dick joke, Sarah.
Yeah, it's a dick joke.
Not cool.
Okay. So here's this is the part of the movie where I got confused. Why
this
the
is the part?
Well, no, no, no. There's
a
certain
lot of parts.
There's a certain thing that I'm confused about. Why don't the parents of these adult children?
Yeah.
When is the question coming out? Why can't you find a nice man to Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah.
And like, why do you have to waste your time with our children?
I don't think that's any of their concern. That's just what she does for a living.
But like, why doesn't she have a team of people? Like, why aren't
there
more
people? Saying. Why
isn't
this like
just
a,
you?
Why are you the only? Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true. Why would she be the only one?
She's wasting her youth, presumably, yeah. Yeah. to like go
she
out with all these
like,
people.
Yeah, she
and
should
then
be a madam.
Like,
she should
yeah.
be like a madam,
yeah,
sending out other
be
women
sending
to do
out
this.
Other women like, to, like, or other dudes to do this. We don't know.
Because also, too, you don't know what the guy is into.
Yeah.
Suppose some dude is really into chicks that are like 250 pounds. Well, you know what? Sarah Jessica Parker's not going to interest that guy.
And
suppose
also,
somebody's into like
I don't mean to
tall
be,
chicks
to be
or
like
short
this,
chicks or I don't know.
But Sarah Jessica Parker is blonde in this movie,
yeah.
and also she's put together very well. She
oh, yeah,
looks
yeah,
very
yeah.
pretty,
absolutely.
You know. But like she's not again like what James said. She's not everyone's type.
She's not everybody's
she's
fantasy. That's what I mean.
To,
she's not a.
She's
yeah.
supposed. I mean, she's very thin. She looks like she's
no,
in
she's,
shape. She
she's
looks
fine.
Banging in a
not
dress.
Not judging
she
her at all.
Great.
She's terrific. But
it's
not
just
every
like
man's
some
fantasy.
Dudes are into Zooey Deschanel, as we find out.
That's
one
what
of
I
the
mean.
Adult children is into Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
But like some people like a girl with dark hair and light skin.
You never
and some
know.
People like you know what I mean. Like we don't
what
know
mean.
What they're into.
She's not the home run. There's very few people. Yeah,
I wanted there to be a team.
I would have loved her to have a whole team that she was dispatching. Like, oh, there's
yes.
a guy, blah, 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 blah. You know what? You,
yeah.
this one, so and so.
Like, yeah, you should
Mary,
be able
you're
to,
on the case.
Yeah.
Like, and you go meet
of,
this guy.
You fill out, like, you tell the
yeah.
lady, you tell the madam, Sarah Jessica Parker, what your kid likes.
This sounds way more like a whorehouse now. This sounds like a brothel at this point. We've turned her.
They still have a rule where they don't sleep with them.
We've turned her. I like how she tries to make it like it's like scientific, yet from what I understand, she has no background
no.
in psychology.
No, there's
or
no psychology
like
or anything
she
like that. It's
not
just,
even community
yeah.
college
but like,
anything.
I think if I was one of their parents, I'd be like, why do you do this? And
yeah.
do you have a team of people? Why is it just you? Are you dating multiple
people? Do you
have people?
An office?
Yeah, do you have an office? Like, because
you just
well,
some broad
later
dates
on,
people
we'll
for money.
Find out
get
that
it.
She, you know, she's out to lunch with Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
And then
she's
one of
still
Matthew
taking other clients.
Yeah, one of Matthew McConaughey's friends sees her there and
yeah,
she's
National
just
Treasure
like,
guy.
Yeah, National Treasure guy sees her. And then it's just like, oh, Ruh-roh.
Yeah, National
like,
Treasure guy.
You think that you, like, you're doing this locally, so you'd think that you'd run into somebody. You,
all
like,
the time.
She talks about, she goes, okay, the first date is this, the second date is this, then I meet his friends, then
yeah.
I go do something that he likes to do, and then I go
so
do this.
That's
so
a circle
think that,
of people
think
she's
that
met.
You would run yeah. into the friend.
Out of all the people
some
she's known,
fucking point.
There's like probably 100 people walking around that know who she is and what she does
yeah.
at some point one of the guys that she had been hired to get out of the house is going to see her and go, oh, you're that fucking bitch my parents hired
yeah.
to trick me out of my house. Hey, don't talk to her, she's a fucking liar.
Well, because
holy
they,
shit
they go to move in together at
yeah.
the end because like okay so she's done this for so long
yeah.
that she know like she has like a
system.
There's like a
foolproof.
Oh no, what is it called? There's a syllabus. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Here's what we do the first day. This is orientation. This is you know howdy doody.
She's
what's gonna
hand
going
out a
on,
binder.
Blah, blah, blah.
She's ready to hand out
and
laminated
then she goes,
pages.
You know, day two we do this. Day yeah. three we do this, and she's looking at it like it's like a sociological experiment, and it's
yeah.
not. It's,
she speaks of it as if she has some. She's a psychologist who's worked out this program
yeah.
to do. But like
and
I said.
She
no.
is a psychologist. She shouldn't have to fucking rent a house with Zooey Deschanel.
That's the other thing. Or she also shouldn't have to fuck people, which she ends up doing as well.
Well, she does one.
Well, yeah.
Allegedly. We don't know the other ones. Okay.
Well, maybe, yeah. It's possible.
But anyway, so now we get into the emotional manipulation piece. So Sarah Jessica Parker, one of her steps is that she has to make him go through, like, an emotional
help
trauma
her through
thing.
A trauma.
Yeah. So she has a arrangement with the vet to like
bond
put down a dog.
Yeah.
And so then like it's basically they put the dog like they put the dog under to brush its teeth or
yeah, it's
you know clean
putting
its
the dog under
like
to do
that.
A procedure but they pretend
these
like
dudes
they're
are
it out.
So stupid. They don't know any better. like, and then, you know, it's so obvious a farce, right? Because the music under it is whatever. And I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah. They had to make it obvious so people wouldn't actually be sad watching the movie thinking a dog was dying.
Why couldn't they do what Liz Lemon did and say that they lost their dog?
That would have been better.
And because, then be like, this is what he looks like, you know, whatever. But like, fucking making him sit there and he thinks that a dog died in front of him. That's awful.
They did it strictly so at the last beat of the scene, the dog, they could have the dog go,
when the nurse says, I
just clean their teeth and cut their nuts, and the dog goes, and it looks over.
Yeah.
They love animal humor in this movie.
Yeah, like, they really do love animal humor. Like, chipmunks, dog nuts.
Personification of animals is a big thing.
So it was like Dr. Doolittle and also like...
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah,
get the... adult child out of the house.
Doctor, get the girl. But the whole thing is that animals that are usually both non-violent and, you know, plant eaters, somehow feast on the meat and blood of McConaughey.
Yeah.
They crave the blood of McConaughey.
Yes.
I don't know why.
And it's just, I was just so disturbed that she made him watch a dog die. I was like, God.
Yeah, that was...
But now we go paintballing with the adult children cult and Sarah Jessica Parker.
His hands are moving all over the place.
And
Jessica
Parker, like, tries... So Matthew McConaughey teaches her how to shoot the paintball gun. And she's like, well, I just lost my dog. Why are you doing this? And he's like, well, because this is fun and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, you won't be sad. Which, I mean, that's a good point. But maybe she doesn't grieve like that. So, I mean, bonus points for trying. But she shoots the guy, the National Treasure guy, in the foot. Why is he wearing sandals?
He's wearing sandals to go paintballing. No one has ever worn a sandal to go paintballing.
It seems like this is a recurring activity that they go do.
You cover all skin to go paintballing.
Yeah, it hurts like a bastard on skin. So you put a fucking shoe on.
Especially that your top of your foot. If you get hit by that would hurt like a bitch. Bones.
So Sarah Jessica Parker sees the other team and she asks, like, you know, who are those guys? And their team name is called the Devil Babies. And I was like, ooh, but they never tell us what the adult children's
No, they don't have
is.
A squad name.
What? Okay, so you didn't see their squad name?
I didn't see it. What was it?
Doesn't say
Did
it.
You? I didn't. Yeah, I didn't get it either.
I wanted to know what their
I
team
would
was.
Think, I,
and
you would imagine
long,
it would have
is this
some
a long
stupid,
rivaled like?
Yeah, because they knew they were like, oh, they're national champions, the blue fucking whatever
the
they
devil
were.
Babies.
Devil babies. Devil babies. Yeah, I don't know. They were dressed in blue.
But,
that's all I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Devil Babies were like
the
national
adult
paintball champions.
Does anybody know?
I don't know. I have no idea. The adult children, maybe.
That's fine.
It's possible.
They should be the adult children. The National Treasure guy likes Zooey Deschanel, as we see. She's drinking,
mean to him for no reason.
She's drinking beer in the park. Well, she's just weird. She's drinking beer in the
she's
park.
She's super pissed.
She's drinking Bud Light in the park, watching everybody paintball.
She's supposed to be such an enigma. Like, that's that's her thing.
And everybody, you know, everybody gets shot out. Sarah Jessica Parker shoots Bradley Cooper and he gets, you know, on accident because they're obviously on the same team, but she, you know, shot him on accident.
Oh, yeah.
She's the last one standing. She wins the paintball game. Of course, not a drop of paint on her. I don't understand this movie.
No, not at all. And by the way, Bradley Cooper's character for some reason reminds me of Daniel Stern in City Slickers. I don't know why, but they're like a similar vibe of a character, and he kind of, I don't know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
He looks like
that's
a more
true.
Handsome Daniel Stern in this movie. It's just a weird thing. This movie was made 25 years ago. Daniel Stern would have been that part, even though that guy's supposed to be handsome. It's still,
you're blowing my mind right now. But but his friend Billy Crystal would tell him, you need to get out of your parents' house.
Yeah, you go, what are you doing living in your parents' house? What's wrong with you?
Your parents' house? You're going to walk downstairs and you're going to put a...
What would Bruno Kirby say about that? He'd have a big problem with it.
I was going to say he would... There'd be some comments made, and I don't think anybody would be happy.
Yeah.
So this movie, again, is all manipulation, okay? Because Matthew McConaughey is manipulating everybody in his life. He's manipulating his parents. He's manipulating his friends. And then SJP is a hired manipulator to manipulate the manipulator. And it's just...
It's so much, man. Everyone's got a scam. Why are they all scamming each other? Parents are scamming children. Children are scamming parents. The hired people
they're
all scamming each other. Why can't anybody...
And they're all bonding. They're bonding now because he's teaching her how to sail.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is because this is the day where this the next step is let them teach you something. That's
let
her,
them teach you something.
Her program.
So then that's how you. And I mean, technically, if I'm being honest with you, these are very good things that people should do. Not manipulating people, but you should let your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, wife teach you how to do something. You should like teach something that they like to do. It's very nice. It's nice of you, even if you don't like it. It's good to take interest in something that they like to do. And it's also good practice for them to explain something because communication is important.
She like just broke down. It's so weird. She just broke down like the she broke down all the components of a relationship.
Yeah.
And was like, okay, you do this and this and this.
Yeah, that's what
and these four steps equal a relationship, which
she's
is just
turned it into
filthy.
Like a weird, it's kind of like that, what's that one show that we've been watching, Married at First Sight?
Yeah, it's
where
like a
they're
weird
like,
science
okay,
project.
The first day you do the wedding and then you go here and then you go on your honeymoon and then like these producers are like telling them like, you know, it's like a weird Stockholm syndrome. You're like kidnapped and then you're like, okay, now you have to move in. And then, but everybody, every couple operates it like a business at that point because they're like, okay, we have to move where it makes sense and feelings don't come into factor.
It feels like one of those movies that's based on a how-to book.
Yeah.
It feels like he's just not that into you.
Or like, how to lose a guy in 10 days.
Like, yeah, it's based on like a shitty how-to book that they were like, we could turn this into a movie somehow.
Yeah.
You know, we'll put Kate Hudson in it. It'll be fine. Like, that's what I feel like this movie is.
Kate Hudson would have been good in this movie, though.
Yeah, but that she was in everything. McConaughey and Hudson, they were in everything together. Yeah, and she she would have been better, I think, than
she'd
Sarah
be funny.
Jessica Parker. And Sarah Jessica Parker comes off more business though. She comes off
she
like
comes
a professional.
Off, yeah.
She comes off like a professional, like she might be an attorney or she might be like somebody in charge of some shit. Like she looks very put together and professional.
She, that's what I mean.
Kate Hudson doesn't have that gravitas. I don't know if she could have done that in 2006.
No, but Kate Hudson is like she looks like she's fun. She looks like you want to go like hang out with her. It looks like she'll have a burger.
She's
and a
more
beer
attractive
with the guys.
Objectively in 2006.
But, I mean, she looks like she would like she would have been taken fucking paintball seriously. She'd be
she'd
have fun with it.
That's why she was in all those romantic comedy roles because she was like,
"Hey,
I'm cool chick."
Yeah, she's
like,
cool.
Yeah, she's okay.
Anyway,
her mom's Goldie Hawn for Christ's sake.
It's she's got to be like, fucking cool. I mean? And Kurt Russell's her. Well, I mean, that's not really her dad, but it's really her. It's just her dad.
She's still
been together for.
She's grown up around the aura of the Russ.
Yeah.
Every day when she was a child, she could go into the living room and see his flowing hair and get inspired from that to be a better person. That's all I'm saying.
And that's why we. That's why we watch Kurt Russell movies. It's for inspiration. McConaughey is now discussing boats with Sarah Jessica Parker. He doesn't want a brand new boat. He wants an old wooden boat.
Because he's such a soulful guy.
Because the old
really
wooden
feel
boat
it when you're on there.
Yeah, the old wooden boat is it's a metaphor for life. And I'm not sure what the metaphor is, but he brings up another metaphor for life in respect to boats later, and it makes me want to vomit.
The scene with the boat, he's in his fucking glory because they're eating crab in that scene.
Ooh, yeah.
Crab, so he's just, his hands are working. He's cracking shit and putting stuff in his mouth and tossing. He's always tossing things. Watch it. He loves tossing things.
I think that's what
part
he
of his
thinks
acting
the comedic
style.
Role is, because he doesn't do that in serious movies.
Just when he's it's just weird. It's
or he doesn't
just
do
so
it in those Lincoln commercials.
Well, he's still, I don't know, he's moving his hands around a little bit, but that's a Lincoln commercial. They're cutting very few. In a whole movie, he's just like, hey man, like if I'm supposed to be cool guy, I just gotta be moving stuff around with my hands and grabbing stuff and what's that? And I got my pen and thing and throw that popcorn at the kid. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. I don't know. It's
but
too
now
much
we get to the scene where she is, so she gets back, she's caught by Zooey Deschanel that she likes Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we are to assume that Zooey Deschanel at least knows her enough to know that she is different around this client as opposed to other ones. One.
Yeah.
And two, that you know, that Zooey Deschanel has been roommates with her long enough to understand somebody's job. Like,
that's
to understand
yeah.
her job. So like
super well. Yeah. She really gets it. She knows the ins and outs.
Oh, nope. Like this one's different because you're having fun. Like she's like, I smell something. She's like, oh, we ate crab. And she's like, no, you had fun.
I smell
fun. And it's
fun.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm basically Sarah Jessica Parker's life is,
oh,
and her
sorry.
Job is pretty fun because she's like, okay, I get paid to go on dates and not have to pay for any of this stuff. No dinner, no nothing. So she's like, she's always in the positive. She's always profiting.
Yeah, she's being paid to go out.
She has no work
get dinner
expenses
paid for her. No, no, it's really a quite
except
the career
for maybe like coffee to the people
while she waits.
I mean,
for
maybe
the guy.
She's got like Steve Sharippa and the Goomba's Guide to Life.
Yeah.
Where she's always tipping everybody.
She has to be.
Going, like,
why else would the vet let her do
bucks?
This?
Yeah, that's what
I feel like she's got to slip the vet a 50 or something.
Yeah,
be like,
she's
I got
be
another
doing
one
something
on the line. Yeah.
But anyway, so Matthew McConaughey got the look from Sarah Jessica Parker, and so now he wants to bring her home to mom and dad. So I think a dolphin bites him right now at this point.
Yeah.
I think a dolphin bites him.
Dolphin.
So this is where we get that chipmunk theory. Like, you know, there's non-aggressive animals don't like him. And then so we're
they just want to bite him.
Yeah, they just want to bite him. And you know what? I understand because I wanted to bite him too.
I could any violence inflicted on Matthew McConaughey is perfectly understandable
yeah.
in any film.
So
any film.
We're meeting the parents now. We're meeting Kathy. Sarah Jessica Parker is meeting Kathy Bates and Terry Bradshaw. They know his system. They know that this means he's trying to break up with you.
They're surprised to
so,
see her there. They're like,
know,
oh shit.
She's like, so Kathy Bates, you know, kind of gives Sarah Jessica Parker an in on that.
Yeah,
and
he's about
you know,
to break
she's
up
like,
with
he
you.
Only brings girls home when he wants to dump them. So SJP, you know, has to think on her feet. She's never encountered this. This is not one of the, if this happens, then this happens. There's no pull cord, so.
She gives him the old SJ Punani after that.
So now we're
lays
in,
it down.
Now we are in Yikes Town, population
oh, yeah.
SJP, and she has slept over. At McConaughey's
oh,
house.
Oh, yeah. She's creeping out in the morning.
They bang, and, like, he's playing music and all this stuff, and mm-hmm. Terry Bradshaw and Kathy Bates are downstairs in their new recliners, which, by the way, don't think that I don't want a different recliner that I don't have to sleep in. You and I are getting recliners.
Just to hang out in?
Yeah, just to hang.
No,
we'll
right.
just we'll look outside. What else do we have to do?
That's
we just
true.
Stay home, so we'll just put them in the dining room and look outside and watch kids and bark
perfect.
At them like Frankie and Benny do.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, so Terry Bradshaw's just staring at the ceiling, and Kathy Bates is like, oh my God, don't stare. And he's like, I paid for it. I'm allowed to stare. He's staring at the ceiling. Like,
yeah,
who cares?
I bought my son this
hooker.
It's not
like they have a fucking like a glass floor. He's like, what's happening up there? Like, it's fine. But anyway.
The morning comes.
Yeah, morning comes. She slept over. Now, Zooey Deschanel, this is where the weird Mockingbird plot comes in. And this is, I think, where they needed like a couple extra minutes. And thank God, because at least it has Rob Corddry. She goes to the store,
yeah,
Zooey Deschanel.
He's not really funny for some reason.
He was funny. And
let's,
he was
let's,
fine.
Let's give him a pretty non-comedic role. Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good.
So she goes to the store. I think that is because Sarah Jessica Parker wanted to go shopping for like boat shoes or something like
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So she sees all these guns. And so she, you know, wants to shoot this Mockingbird. You're like, oh, okay, she wants to shoot the Mockingbird. And I love that she says that she only needs one bullet. And Rob Corddry talking people down is what we need at every like store.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know, if you need help, there's people that you can
he goes,
talk
listen,
to.
I'm depressed sometimes too.
Yeah, I have these
you know,
thoughts.
Things get overwhelming.
Yeah.
I get it. I have a number that you can call. And she's like, no, I want to kill a bird.
And he's like, you can't kill mockingbirds. But anyway, so what I'm saying is that we should have more people like him. But Zooey Deschanel, this is where we learn the rule of not sleeping with your clients, because she's like, where were you last night? And she goes, oh, I slept over there. You know, like, oh, all part of the plan.
All yeah,
no,
it's all
you
part
have a
of
contract
the deal.
With these people, apparently, presumably
yeah.
that
to
it says
have sex with their son.
No, it's presumably it says
well,
no it sex with the son.
Well, yeah, but here she is.
So now Sarah Jessica Parker is on another job. I'd like to know who writes those contracts for the interventionist.
I think she probably does herself. I think she's got.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think she looked up a pretty standard contract on the internet, slapped some different verbiage in there.
2006?
Yeah, 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker is on another job. I'm going to call it not a date with Patton Oswalt. And this is where we see. This whole thing go down. Here's our next plot.
This is her. This is her getting found out.
Yeah, the friends find out about it. I mean, it was only a matter of time.
National Treasure guys at the coffee shop
and
watching.
And he's like, I get a date with your friend Zooey Deschanel, and I won't tell Matthew McConaughey like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's the deal. So he ends up going over there with a flower.
Yeah.
And a door slammed in his face. She's as mean to him as humanly possible. And then she ends up going out with him.
But I was going to say, she ends up going out with him. And then they end up hanging out. And he says that I can shoot your mockingbird with my BB gun.
Yeah. She's like, that's nice. She complains. He says, I have a BB gun. Yeah. And they turn out to be a decent couple.
Yeah, there they're fine.
Yeah.
What I didn't appreciate about that scene was that they gave the bird CPR.
Yeah, they shot this mockingbird and then gave it like full on compressions.
Put
and
his mouth on a bird.
On a beak.
On a bird's beak. And then after that, he starts making out with her. Like, I'm like, birds are dirty.
Filthy. Well, also, it was blown on the beak. They revitalized this bird who he's blowing into its beak. Imagine if a human went into a bird. You'd explode that fucking thing, first of all. It's very tiny. Its lungs are the size of a dime, I would say, even smaller, even if it's a big mockingbird. Then the thing comes to life, springs to life, and attaches itself to his nose.
Yeah, bites him.
Bites him in the nose. More animals.
Well, then shouldn't he have taken that as a hint that...
To beat the shit out of that bird till it falls off his nose?
No.
Oh.
Because... Nature was not agreeing with his lifestyle
apparently,
choices either.
I think nature wasn't agreeing with him shooting the mockingbird.
That's true.
I think that was the
no disinfecting anything. They probably have bird flu. Not sure. Now we're at a baseball game.
Hot bird sex after that.
Yeah. Hopefully the mockingbird got out.
He did. He flew out the door.
Now they're Matthew McConaughey, Bradley Cooper, the Matthew McConaughey's nephew, and Sarah Jessica Parker are at a baseball game. And this is where we learn that Matthew McConaughey's first love died.
Yes, because...
So his fiance... So Bradley Cooper is like, Matthew McConaughey and the little boy, they go get like a snack or a drink or whatever, you know, they're just going to go and do something. And then Bradley Cooper is like, listen, I know your game and I don't think that you know the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
So essentially it's what I thought the whole time is that the adult children community does not welcome Matthew McConaughey in. They're like, listen, he's an imposter. He's not actually an adult child.
Yeah.
His fiance died, and that kid is actually not his nephew. That's that woman's son.
Yeah. This is his ex-fiance.
Yeah, this is
his dead fiance. Not ex, his dead.
Well, I mean, yeah, I always feel weird with that.
Yeah, I think it's dead. There's no ex. There's no, if you didn't get a chance to break up if someone died, so then it's just dead, not ex. Yeah.
So she's like, oh, Jesus, I knew something was wrong about this.
No. By the way, let me ask you this, if what you think. Was the kid, the nephew, who's like an 8-year-old kid, who's a pretty cute little kid and he's hilarious, who gets popcorn thrown at him all the time. This kid is black, all right? So was this a hint that that's not really his nephew? Because his mom wasn't white and his dad was black. The kid's black. He's very black. You know what I mean? And he's a black child. And, but
I don't know. I didn't really put any thought into it.
Like if it was McConaughey's sister's kid, it would be a not, you know what I mean?
Like, I think I thought of it more as like one of those like that he's like maybe a family friend's kid and then the kid calls him uncle, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first.
Trip, I didn't really think. I didn't
that's
really
what
think
I thought at first. I thought it was like maybe a friend of his kid that's like, you know, whatever. Yeah. Just he's close
or
to
or
him.
Or like a neighbor because, you know.
But
whatever.
Later on, but then no when idea. The whole thing comes out, then I'm like, was that like a hint? That like really wasn't his nephew.
I don't know. I didn't think about it.
It's just weird. I don't know because I thought nephew. I'm like his brother or sister. That wouldn't be his brother or sister's kid. Like there's just no way genetically that's possible.
I either thought that it was like a family friend that they called him Uncle Trip, or like a friend's kid or something like that. I didn't really think about it.
Or maybe they actually did this, which I honestly hope this is what it was. I think maybe they just had. Let's bring in 100 kids and see who's the funniest kid.
That kid was funny.
And the
as
kid
fuck.
Was a great actor and he was funny. And even if he was, you know, Asian or whatever, it would have been, that wouldn't have mattered.
He was so cute.
I feel like they just cast the best kid probably and then just went from there, you know?
Yeah.
Since it didn't matter anyway because he wasn't related to him.
No
movie,
front
so.
Teeth.
No. And
it's always hilarious when
kid
kids
was funny,
have
though.
No front
he was
teeth.
Cute as shit, this
My
kid.
My nephew doesn't have any front teeth and I told him that's all he's getting for Christmas and he got kind of sad. I was like, well, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so. Now we retroactively start appropriating some of Matthew McConaughey's decisions in his life to he's grieving because he his fiance passed away, and I love that we don't actually hear the whole story because everybody's cheering at the baseball game and Bradley Cooper
he's just like look
Amy died
yeah.
and then
Amy
that's
was
all
his
you really,
fiance yeah. and she died now let me tell you about Amy. when the crowd gets real loud and we pull back and she's sitting there, oh no.
And shaking her head.
Shaking her head with her hands on her face.
But all we just heard
she feels terrible.
All we just heard is that she passed away, and then she's just immediately like, shaking her head like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, how many words could he have gotten out unless he started like really summarizing what happened? Car crash.
Car crash.
Fiery death.
Car crash. She crawled from the car. Really, it was amazing that she survived the crash. Crawled from the car into the woods, was eaten by wolves immediately.
Ambulance called. Matthew McConaughey is on his way to the hospital. She dies right before he gets there.
Right
like,
before.
You know, like, I'm just like, you know, like, this is not, okay, it's devastating. I don't want anybody, I don't want that to happen.
The last
to anybody,
wolf drags her away just as he comes into frame.
But again, manipulation.
Yeah.
So now Matthew McConaughey, Bradley Cooper tells Matthew McConaughey, like, hey, good news. I found out from National Treasure guy that Sarah Jessica Parker is your girlfriend for money. Your parents want you to move out of the house. Okay. Also good news. That's great because you're not really an adult child anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to do this. So I told her about the whole situation with Amy, and I think that you guys are great together. So you guys should just work it out. And Matthew McConaughey is very upset.
Very upset.
So he makes dinner for his parents and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, yeah. They come over. He's hustling.
He's like, he's
They're
wearing his white shirt, drinking red wine, making a roast.
Looking super
isn't
adulty.
This, isn't this nice? I'm making dinner
Got
for
my
you
three
folks.
Most special people in the
These
world
are the
with
people
me.
I care about the most. We should move in together.
That's,
and
his, that's
we're
his announcement.
We're going to move upstairs, and we're just going to make two master bedrooms.
We're going
to, and
renovate the house.
Because we should all live together. And then he's like, and the good news, mom and dad, is that you don't have to pay her to be my girlfriend anymore.
Oh.
And it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's it.
Matthew McConaughey has had enough.
Has his last sip of wine. He's like, peace, bitches. And he walks out of the room.
He walks out of the house. It's pouring rain, of course. And he's got that white shirt on. Of course.
By the way, we have no idea where this is. They never say.
We think it's in New England, but we're not sure.
Like, it's either in, like, you know, Nantucket or possibly, like, Washington State or Northern California.
Because then he also said, the baseball game, do you want, like, a Royals number one foam finger?
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. But then
Kansas City?
No, and then the mascot was a Zephyr. And it said the Zephyrs on the mascot.
It's the New Orleans Zephyrs. That's like an actual like team.
That's what I mean. So was that the
they're not in New Orleans.
That's what I'm saying.
Not sweating.
That wasn't the road.
It's not humid as fuck.
No, and that wasn't it was tropical. That,
I feel like
weird.
It's
I don't know
New
where
England
it is.
Because they had the crab.
Yeah, the crab.
Like everything.
Yeah.
I feel like it's New
Maryland
England.
Or something, like a nice part of Maryland. I don't know, something like that possibly.
We're not sure. Perhaps
bothering me the whole
somebody
movie.
Else knows. And Maybe. They can watch it and they can let us know.
Well, please do.
But anyway, white shirt, it's raining. SJP chases after him and she's like, oh my God, like, I didn't know. And she's trying to say something. And I got kind of upset because he wasn't even letting her, you know, get a word in edgewise. But he does say one word.
Finally, we have our ongoing PG-13 one fuck checklist where
one fuck wonder. Wonder
fuck,
where it is.
We keep track of where they use their one fuck. As we know, PG-13 movies, you're allowed one fuck in a particular context. You're not allowed to say, I want to fuck you or I'm going to fuck that thing in the face. You can't say that, but you can say,
get the fuck out of my car.
And that's exactly how they use it. Matthew McConaughey turns and says, get the fuck out of my car.
And it was appropriate.
So far, this is one of the best uses of a fuck in one of the PG-13 romantic comedies we've seen.
I like that. One fuck
far.
Wonder where the fuck it is.
Wonder where the fuck it is.
All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, he tells her to get the fuck out of the car, and now he's sleeping in an old wooden boat. Okay, so metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker encouraged him to get that wooden boat, and now he's got it, and you know, what is life?
Yeah, and he even says to his parents, I think, as he's leaving, doesn't he say, like, if you wanted me to move out, you should have just said something?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Which, again,
save
it's like
us a whole movie!
Nobody had any conversations.
What is happening?
Manipulation. Okay.
Their
anyway.
First, it's not like they talked to him and he was like, nah, I'm still going to live here. And then they tried something else. He's like, nah, I'm still going to live here.
I'm saving up.
This is their first option. Let's hire a. It's like a very complicated scheme to be your first plan of attack.
Yep.
Nothing else, nothing simple first.
Now we have our sadness montage type of thing. Matthew McConaughey is talking to his nephew.
He's sad, but he's hanging out with children.
Yep.
He's a good
and it's cute. It's cute because Matthew McConaughey is drinking Budweiser and the little boy is drinking Coke.
Oh, yeah.
So they're both sucking him back and throwing littering,
hand going all over the place,
whatever. But like, you know, SJP just doesn't she doesn't depress that way, man. She eats some mint Milanos and drinks a cappuccino. Like, she's gonna be fine.
That's what she said. That's what Zooey Deschanel tells us anyway.
That's what the movie showed us too.
Yeah, well, she said that. Milanos. Oh yeah, that's right. I was looking away.
And I was like, great plug for Pepperidge Farms. There.
I think I might have had a stroke during.
No,
that
you
time.
Didn't.
I think
you loved this movie. James, I think was like, let's get a boat.
Possibly had a stroke.
It's a classier type of depression. Okay. Mint Milano's.
Boat depression.
So SJP goes to Kathy Bates and Terry Bradshaw and gives them their money back. And she's, you know, she's professing that this has never happened before. None of my clients have ever been like Matthew McConaughey before.
No.
Like, your son. And like, she keeps updating them about like how proud they should be of him. Even after banging, she was like, you should be very proud of him. I was like, ew.
Yeah, you
gross.
Should be very, like, he gave it to me good. She, the way she said, you should be very proud
very
of him.
Proud
like,
of him.
I'm talking
like,
every angle.
Yuck.
He has new ideas.
But she's like, your son is so wonderful. And, you know, this has never happened before. And I just, I can't take your money. And this is, you know, whatever.
Not to mention, this woman, this is her whole business. This is her business that she does.
Yeah.
But Matthew McConaughey's, the draw to his penis is so strong. That yep. this woman will throw her whole business and life away because
that's
it's
what's
just
so
different.
Fucking
which is like,
weird.
I don't think so. SJP to be more in more control than
is,
that, I think.
Yeah, is because she's like, that's how, like, this is the unethical thing, is that he's living at home because of a good reason, like a sad reason, not because any other reason. It's only because of a sad reason, and that totally negates this
that
contract.
Negates everything.
So like, it's super unethical to like date somebody and fucking manipulate their feelings and whatever.
Did we
but
mention
not
why
because...
she does this, by the way?
No, I forgot.
Yeah,
I don't think I heard that part.
Yeah, she does this because she had a fiance who wouldn't move out of his parents' house.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
married
right.
her.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she
yeah.
doesn't know why, so she's doing this to try to fix all the other guys, is
that's
what
right.
Zooey Deschanel puts it. So, yeah.
Zooey Deschanel.
Joey D.
Joey D.
That's what Joey D said. I don't
know. Joey D.
Joey Deadeyes. That's what she said.
Joey Deadeyes.
That's her acting style. McConaughey is constant hand movement. Hers is no eye movement. Those are the two things.
So, Kathy Bates says, like, oh, well, we know what your problem is. You're in love with our son. And then we cut to rock climbing with the adult children cult.
Oh, yeah. Again, another awesome activity that they're doing.
It doesn't.
Guy thing.
By the way, rock climbing does not look fun.
No, it looks fucking, it looks dangerous and life-threatening
it
is what it looks
look
like.
Good.
It looks
and
scary.
Especially if you can fucking get bit by a Chuck Walla.
That's, whatever the hell that thing was, yeah.
That was a Chuck Walla.
I don't know what that is. But yeah, McConaughey is bit again.
Yeah.
By a lizard thing.
So yeah, so he's bit again by a lizard. By and he falls and he gets like a...
Yeah, a notoriously vegetarian and notoriously passive lizard.
Yeah.
That decides to go out of its way to attack Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Bradley
which we
Cooper
understand.
Sets it up.
Because we...
Bradley Cooper says he's been all around the world. Okay, I've been around the world, and you're the only human being to have been bitten by a chipmunk, a dolphin, and this super passive vegetarian lizard in a calendar year.
Yep.
You're amazing. The universe is telling you, nature is telling
you. The way that you're living your life is no good.
Is you're fucking up.
Yeah.
And the chipmunks and the lizards and the dolphins have come together in the universe to let you know this through their teeth.
Right.
Perfect.
Through their teeth. And he is basically concussed.
Yeah, he gets dropped down a rock by his friend.
He falls. More physical comedy, I guess. It's just everybody going everywhere. National Treasure guy is still eating his carrots. And then we cut back to Sarah Jessica Parker. She's going to move to Colorado and move home with her parents.
Yeah,
everything's coming full circle.
Totally, she's done.
She's
this
lost.
Has shaken her entire belief
Milano's,
in her business.
Milano's did not help.
Nope, she's done. She said this.
She is going.
I'm ruined.
She's done.
Ruined.
She's ruined. Okay, so Matthew McConaughey goes home and he sees Terry Bradshaw naked as a jaybird in his room, and he's like, Dad, what are you doing? Listening to Snoop Dogg, by the way, and I totally expect to see Terry Bradshaw just like
getting high in there.
Weed and like tending to his fish
you
and like
do
whatever.
Have
but
to
instead,
see...
he's just like feeding his fish and nude.
You do have to see Terry Bradshaw's ass for a good 90 seconds of screen
it's
time.
It's almost like
it's a lot.
It's almost like in Austin Powers when you don't see Austin Powers' dick and it just keeps covered by something.
Exactly. They play
and
that prank.
They try to do that too, and it's just not as good and as again, when Austin Powers.
Also, Terry Bradshaw, terrible actor. Don't give him more than three words of dialogue to say at once.
And so Matthew McConaughey goes downstairs and he's talking to his mom and he's just, you know, like talking about, like, I guess I would feel pretty sad too if my parents didn't tell me, like, you know, hey, we love you, but...
Be like, why didn't you just say something? Yeah. How much money did you waste,
idiots? I would be sad. Yeah, I'd be like, you can just talk to me and I can figure something out.
Yeah,
you know,
Christ almighty.
And again, like what I was saying earlier is your mom and dad love you. Okay, everybody's mom and dad, they love you. But not that much, okay? Because people often forget that your parents are people too.
Yeah.
And they were people before you came along. And then you have made their lives full of poop. And making sure that you don't drop dead and algebra and all of that shit. And they like you, but when you're old enough, they like you when you live somewhere else. And you should be honored that they like to talk to you.
They want you to go have a life at some point.
Yes, they love you that much. And because after you leave, they have to figure out who they are again.
Yeah.
And if they even like each other.
People get divorced.
Yeah. Or, you know, or if you were just like, if they were just a really good small business and they were trying to make sure.
Churn out decent kids.
Geez. The greatest gift that you can give your parents is move out of the house when you are able to take care of yourself financially and whatever, and give them their lives back. Let them be people. Let them be weird.
Yeah, definitely. Let them have naked rooms.
All the weird shit that you like to do is, and you're like, oh, I love to do this and I don't want to bring another person into it. Your parents like to do that shit too.
Your mom wants a whole shelf for just her dildos. That's what she wants.
No,
give it to her.
That's not what your mom wants.
Yes, it is, actually, probably.
No.
That's what a lot of.
Okay, then there's a meeting.
Okay.
There's a meeting of the minds. What is your problem?
I'm laughing at you. That's funny.
No. There's a meeting of the minds to get the two back together. It's Zooey Deschanel, Terry Bradshaw, National Treasure guy, Bradley Cooper, the nephew / stepson, and Kathy Bates. And they're trying to come up with a plan. Like, basically, the plan is... Well, it's a joke plan because nobody actually wants to do it. They're like, we should send flowers to Matthew McConaughey and to Sarah Jessica Parker and say that they're, you know, from each other.
Yeah, then, they're trying to set them up to a Cosby Show plot where the kids are trying to make everybody make up.
Instead of that, Zooey Deschanel offers to drive Sarah Jessica Parker to the airport. And she brings him. She's like, we have to bring you over to National Treasure guy's house because of that sweater that you lost, which I'd be like, why is my sweater at that man's house? And then they lock her in there with like a wood board. They put like a 2x4 and they have Matthew McConaughey taped up and tied up in a closet.
And like unconscious too. Like he like comes to when she opens the closet door. So I don't understand what they did to him.
And
they drugged him or knocked him out or what.
Yeah, the two of them are stuck in this room and basically they have to, you know, talk it out. And they're watching a live stream of this happening based on all of the webcams that the National Treasure guy has at his house.
27.
He has 27 of them. And I should have had 27 of them all set up and ready to go for our live Stevie thing.
We needed him to set up our tech for us, I think. We had enough problems with two cameras on that bad boy. So maybe next time we'll get more of a multi-angle shoot. We'll see.
Yeah, that one damn platform shutting down that day didn't help. But anyway... She says that she thinks that he's a jackass, and he says, I think those pants make you look fat, which is not really productive or constructive for the
Sarah
conversation.
Sarah Jessica Parker weighs like 104 pounds
times.
She's nothing
so
could
tiny
make her look
in
fat.
This movie, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're putting the live stream up at the bar because the waitress is interested in it, and like all these other people are interested in it. And then finally, everybody just decides they're going to watch it like we're watching a basketball game or a football game at the bar and whatever. I'm just so bored by this scene and so bored by this movie at this point.
Everybody's watching it like a reality show. That's the premise here. They put it on the big screen. So everybody in the bar who doesn't know them at all, doesn't know what's happening, just sees literally surveillance footage of two strangers talking and everyone's just enamored by it to the point where no one is speaking another word.
No, everybody's
and they're just
watching it.
Oh my God, please let them get together. It's so weird.
We find out that the look that Matthew McConaughey keeps referencing is the look of I like you. He is, I guess, afraid of people liking him.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe I don't know.
Because then they're going to die, I think, is what they're getting at. Because his fiance died, so he's scared to get close to anyone again.
Yeah.
This is the psychology behind him.
That's what I think, anyway. She tells him that she is so blissfully unaware of how miserable she was in her life because she thought that she was, you know, skating on by and doing okay until she met him. And that just made me realize how blissfully unaware of how miserable I was until I met you.
Now you're even more miserable. It's great. It's perfect.
No, I'm not.
Works out great.
Oh,
for everybody.
The two of them kiss and make up. Bradley Cooper just picks up and kisses that waitress. I was like, excuse me, sir.
They're a goddamn item.
Yeah, immediately. We're all back together and we're on the boat. Matthew McConaughey gets knocked off of the boat because Sarah Jessica Parker is sailing.
One last little bit of physical comedy there. Yep. Knock him off the boat.
Knock them off the boat. But, and a dolphin comes up to him and lets Matthew McConaughey pet him.
He freaks. He's like, it's going to bite me again because earlier. But now he's like, hey, we're pals. You're cool with nature now because your life is back on track.
The universe is happy with what you're doing. Nature has told you you're on the right path.
And what's the last line? Remember? The last line, she says, I'll throw you a life preserver. And he goes, nah, I'm good. Because the dolphin swam up and so he feels better. He goes, I'm real good. And he starts swimming back in and that's it. We go to credits and Terry Bradshaw singing a fucking song and me really saying, do we have a gun I could use that I could blow my fucking brains out with? Because I will do it right now.
No, we don't have a gun. And that was the end of the movie, everybody. And I'm really sorry. That was probably the worst movie.
No, Burlesque was worse. Burlesque.
No, but we had fun with that one. We were laughing our asses off. This one was just punishing.
This was punishing. Yeah, no, this was punishing. But Burlesque was, wow, that was worse. Well, you know how we can tell which movie's worse? I got an idea of how we can tell. What do you think? How can we do this?
I think that we can go to the Heiglmeter.
To the Heiglmeter!
All right. The Heiglmeter is our unit of measurement, and that's how we measure our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigl. 5 Heigl being the worst movie you've ever seen, most punishing, most awful. Did you go first last week?
I did go first last week, one being not that terrible. Yeah, that's how it works.
One is like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, we don't really follow the rules of it.
No, whatever.
It could be silly.
It's our show.
We can do whatever we want. Yeah, we're going to do whatever the hell we want. Yeah. So I'm going to go first.
You go first.
I am upset, and I'm just going to give it 5 Heigl.
Oh, wow, you're going on the full 5.
It deserves no...
No quarter given, huh?
It deserves no nothing. There's no...
Interesting.
Like, last week, I had a whole, like, formula. Yeah. This week, no formula, no nothing, 5 Heigl.
Okay, I'm gonna be a little kinder to this movie, I think, than you are, which is odd, because I really hated it a lot. I'm not going to lie. I hated this movie, but... Last week really set a standard for me as far as watching a movie, literally thinking, A, what am I watching? Why am I watching it? Is there any way I can get away from this? I was perplexed. This movie, I at least remember last week I kept saying, who is this movie for?
Yeah.
Who's it for? Who's the thing in the movie for? Who's this actual movie? This movie, I know exactly who it was for.
Who?
This movie was for women who were forcing their boyfriends or husbands to take them out on a date for romantic comedy night on a Friday night.
Okay.
This was a couple date night movie. That's what this was. That's what all of these movies were. Matthew McConaughey, Owen Wilson, piece of shit, Kate Hudson.
Okay.
They're all the same movie. They came out one a week, so you'd have somewhere to go.
Okay.
So that's what this is for. So I'm going to give it, at least it has a purpose. At least I can see its purpose. I'm going to give it 2¾ Heigl. Like a Star Search. Like a Star Search score. 2¾ Heigl I give
it.
It's not the worst movie we've seen. That's, you know, Burlesque is a tough standard to beat. It's definitely not the best movie we've seen. It's not like a blast from the past. It's actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's a standard brand, middle of the road, Friday night, date night, forgettable hot pile of shit. 2¾ Heigl.
Huzzah.
There we go.
All right. Well, that was Failure to Launch. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This was a I'd like to say this was a fun experience. I did have more fun watching Burlesque,
It
was very punishing, but it was more fun to watch.
It was.
Whereas this one was more like what's happening to us and how many minutes has it been?
Yeah, I kept checking the time, but I kept checking Burlesque too because that was shockingly slow.
But that
slow.
Was like, oh my God, that was creeping. 15 minutes of shit in 2 minutes.
Yeah, but if you, maybe you hated the movie, but if you liked the show... Why don't you go out and tell everybody about it, damn it?
Yeah.
How do they do that?
Go to Apple Podcasts and rate us 5 stars. You don't have to say anything in particular.
Oh, the purple icon. Get on there.
Yeah.
Say something. And it doesn't matter. We had to sit through this shit.
Yeah, don't be a dick. If you didn't like it, just don't worry about it. You don't have to rate it 1 star. Just move on with your life.
Yeah, it's all good.
It doesn't even, like, you know, it doesn't matter. And it's not that we don't like constructive criticism, because we don't. It's just I don't understand why people don't
If you liked it, tell everyone. If you didn't like it, have a good one.
Shut
nice to see
it.
You. Shut the hell up about it.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We are on Patreon, where we'll do some bonus episodes every once in a while.
Yes, we are.
Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, same spelling.
Our bonus episode's pretty cool, too. It's not about a movie. It's kind of this little game about movies that Sarah's come up with that's really cool and fun, so it's kind of neat. You like
really
it.
Really cool and fun.
Yeah.
And, also, our PayPal is YouGotHeigled@gmail.com. You can find me on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Sarah H is Funny, S-A-R-A-H, H is Funny. I stole my husband's Twitter. Her name, so
she did. Yeah, she didn't take it in marriage, but she took it in Twitter.
I'm a modern woman, so I take a Twitter handle, and also you can buy my books on Amazon. I have these misanthropic musings on Amazon. It's called Small Potatoes, and there's 2 of them. So if you guys are stuck at home and want to take up an hour or two of your day,
check them out. They're good stuff. Quick read.
It's just my complaint. Yeah, it's like
she's not going to say they're good. Trust me, they're good. I've read. They're really funny, and you will read it like in a minute, and you'll be like, oh, I want more of that. It's pretty good. It's good stuff.
Jesus.
It's like a good appetizer. I'm telling you. If you have like a really good appetizer and you're out to eat and you're like, oh man, I wish that was the dinner. That's kind of the way it is here. So get yourself an awesome appetizer. And you can find me at Jimmy P is Funny, or just copy and paste my name from the show descriptions. Do it that way, because you're not going to spell it on your own.
And if you like to hear more of James's stuff,
you can check me out every Tuesday on Crime and Sports Podcast, and every Thursday on the Small Town Murder Podcast, of course, and all of that stuff, and here obviously every Friday. I have no rest these days.
No rest. Oh, we do have some new patrons this
week.
Yeah,
you want to shout them out,
James? Yes, we've got Brett Longcore.
Hello,
thank you so much. We've got Crystal, no last name. That's okay. You don't have to divulge your identity to us. And I think that's it. I think that was the only new ones that we had.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah,
we appreciate
you. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Truly, truly awesome. I'm sure I didn't read everybody's name. But I don't know. Maybe I just suck at this. It's fine.
I think you're good. And damn it, let's wrap this bad boy up. Thank you. Make it shorter than failure to launch.
Get Heigled, everybody.
Go ahead and Heigle yourself. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.